Welcome to The City's Backyard with Matt Szako. The City's Backyard starts now.
Today, we are in the backyard of Norwalk, Connecticut, and we've got three artists here in their own right: Adria Petty, Charlie Drayton, and Bernard Drayton. And they are here today. They got me out of my comfort zone. Normally, I record a podcast virtually since, you know, the world has changed. But you guys are here in this secret location in the Norwalk art space to talk about this bash, this community arts bash that's coming up May 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. And ladies first, let's start with Adria. First of all, Adria, this is in your wheelhouse coming here today before the event actually happens to film a video. Tell us a little bit about the video that you're doing, if you know anything about it.
I'm not shooting it, but I guess they want us to discuss some of the work we've done here with the Petty Drayton Music Program. So I'm here, you know, with my family, my extended blended family here, to support the community and children getting, you know, great after-school classes for free and food for free and a lot of nurturing and support from the people in this incredible organization.
Yeah, so what was the inspiration to team up and support the Norwalk art space here in Norwalk, Connecticut with its music program?
Well, we're very close friends, Charlie and I, and now Bernard and his wife Isadora too, with the Montoya family. We met them in Easton during the pandemic. Our kids are friends. We're stunned and awed by the commitment Duvian makes to the community here in Norwalk, where he grew up. And we came to the galas previously. It's a very young organization. It's only a few years old. But it's one of those organizations where you can just see how much it affects every person that walks through the doors. They get a lot of attention, and it serves the underserved community, provides everything for free. It provides a place that anyone can go and have a cup of coffee or sit with their sketchbook and see some great art. They're overambitious. I mean, in terms of just, they put up so much art in here from established Norwalk artists, from students, from their resident artists that they support with studio programs here. I mean, it's a small building for how much power it yields in the community in terms of helping people. And when you stand in here, you know, it just takes your breath away, because it's one of those things people don't talk about that much, that there are really great people in the world that deliver on their promises and do it out of the goodness of their heart. And I think there's just a lot of layers of that happening in this building. And this family that I'm a part of, the Drayton family, you know, we share a daughter, and I'm married to a wonderful man named Jeff Cedrone, but I have an incredible closeness with the Drayton family and their history of music in their family, their legacy of being creators and being people that people in creative communities have trusted and gone to, you know, broaden their horizons musically. You know, Bernard and my father were close as grandparents, and it's just amazing to collaborate with people I love in my extended family to do something local that we really see making a difference. It's beautiful. So for Charlie and I, you know, our fathers have made such a strong impact on us. Doing the work I do with Petty Legacy has made such a strong impact on me in terms of how important it is to document legacy. And, you know, what Bernard's done with his life in so many areas, and being the confidant of Bill Withers, being in every cool room that ever he could come across, photographing, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. I mean, Bernard is someone who both me and my father are in awe of and just excited to be in a family with. Excited my daughter has his DNA and in so many different ways, but he's just such a cool cat. So to be able to focus a little bit on Bernard's legacy is a treat for me and Charlie, and something that, you know, I've always got time for. So there's just a lot of things about this. We can lend our name if we can lend the power of this big blended family full of creative people who really truly love each other to Norwalk. It's an exciting thing for me to be a part of.
That is just great. And you just said Bill Withers. That's so funny because I just had on last week on the podcast, Kevin Burt is an artist that met Bill Withers and he has an album out paying tribute to Bill. So that's really cool. Should we turn it over to Bernard? Is it okay? Now, Adria doesn't. Oh, Charlie, you want to go? Charlie, why don't you explain a little bit? I mean, Adria just did, but just a little bit more about the Petty Drayton Music Program, you know, your perspective on it.
Well, Adria shared, you know, all the bright points about that. And at the core of it is having met the Montoyas, our daughter, Everly, met Duvian's daughter, Ella, in a summer camp. And that was the first seed of bringing us all together here. And
the executive director here.
Right.
The Norwalk Art Space.
And a little while after that, Adria, you know, we had a conversation and she said she'd come to visit here and got to learn of the artist that Duvian was and some of his dreams and what he's brought here to this community and the art space. And then the conversation, you know, began about him wanting to incorporate music into this space. And the conversation just grew from there, you know. And Adria, you know, she said, well, what do we think about our dads, you know, like...
the grand poobahs.
Yeah, because, you know, in spirit, Tom is all about, you know, the opportunity for, you know, and my dad, of course, about the opportunity for this, you know, for kids to have the opportunity for music to be able to express themselves with this other language, you know, and the access that they can have to their expression, you know. So as well, our, you know, professionally for Adrian, myself, my dad, Connecticut, Norwalk has integrated to us professionally over the years because Adrian spent, you know, a good deal of time. She went to school here in New York. You know, our family's from Brooklyn. So
most people would think she lived out in L.A. or Florida like her dad, you know?
Yeah. So
so what a small world.
Yeah. So with that, you know, this is just, you know, and the support of some of my dear friends here that, you know, over at the factory and stuff. And
yeah.
So this is, you know, this is just the place. And, you know, we're just, I can't even find the words for how happy we are to be where we are in our third semester now.
So how did your dad inspire you to do good things for the community?
I hear myself too much.
I gave him all headphones, okay. But only Adria wanted them.
Yeah. Well, the music began right from the start for me. I feel like it was the first language I began to learn. And this is maybe before I get to speak, you know, my dad could speak on that more, but I get stuck going back. But
that's okay. There you go.
That he was weaned on Horace Silver's Tokyo Blues, which was an album I was into at the time. And he wouldn't go to sleep or eat unless he had had that music in the background. So that's where the language started.
So it's just been this journey. It's been about music from the start.
Bernard, the podcast supports the arts, entertainment, music, and community, and that's what it's all about. And you're an innovator, you know, as the one in the room here with the most wisdom. Adrian and Charlie have said that they were quoted as saying, our fathers are self-made men who were dynamic mentors in music. My father was a madman in advertising during the golden age, you know, down in Manhattan, moved from Michigan. And I used to see the letterhead when he opened up his own business come to my house with microphones on it from radio stations. And then I would go to radio stations in the area. And so that influenced me, and I wanted to become a DJ. So I tried guitar and it didn't last. I had a banjo teacher, and that was a mistake. I wasn't into the banjo. But tell us a bit about your background in advertising with jingles and music and all that stuff behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about you.
Yeah, well, my music journey started with my dad, who was a bass player from the 30s through the 50s with people like Louis Jordan and the Timpani Five. His actual... what he wanted to be was an architect. But in 1935, graduating 2 years early from Brooklyn Tech, even then, a black man couldn't consider that as a career. You know, you couldn't even sweep the office. So he took the next easy road for him was music. He had a gift for it. And he wound up in this band with Louis Jordan and went to Brazil for a year and a half. So as a young kid, you know, my mom and him had separated, but he was in town a lot, coming and come by, and we would hang out. And especially at 9 years old, he took me to a recording session that they did with the Traineers, which was their demo for OK Records, which turned out to be a hit record. This was like a demo audition live in the studio. So I was impressed with the musicians and the singing and the dancing and all that, but I was really turned on by the engineers. These cats had these big knobs and the meters and all of that stuff, and I dug that side of it, you know. And then as I grew older, you know, I played in drum and bugle corps in Brooklyn as a, you know, preteen. And then when I got to high school, I got a trumpet. I said, oh, this is going to be cool. I could be Miles Davis or Lee Morgan, you know, because the trumpet only had three keys on it. So it's got to be easy. Little did I know. That's how it progressed. And I was married early in my last year of high school. My daughter was born. And I had to get a gig. My trumpet was stolen. And so I wound up with a local photographer who approached me to say, Bernard, I know you're technically inclined and stuff. I got this 8mm camera that does sound, and I don't know how to operate it. Could you come over and maybe be my guy, you know? So I fiddled around with that a bit, and it turned me on to photography because I said, well, maybe I could be a film director. Oh, to be a film director, I'm going to need to know photography. So I got off into that. And it's like the self-made thing, you know, you just have to reinvent yourself. Speaking about Bill Withers, these people were doing a documentary on me, and some of his commentary in it, I have the film of it, and he says, Bernie's the kind of guy that keeps reinventing himself. He said, I don't think there was a Bernie before Bernie. You know, that was the Withersism. And that's what I did. You know, I just like, pursued these dreams, which are now coming back. You know, like since I did the music thing and the engineering and all that, there's residual things left over, like all the recordings I did in 1967 are now becoming albums. You know, my photographs from 64 are hopefully going to become something. I just give them away at this point, you know, but they're historical pieces of Martin Luther King. I got Josephine Baker. These are all artists who contributed to the civil rights movement in terms of moral support, financial support, and whatnot, and were activists and active in the civil rights movement. And I discovered them in my basement, again, after like almost 48 years in the jingle business. And I looked at all my proof sheets and negatives, and I said, damn, you were pretty good.
Yeah, it's interesting how photography leads you to things. I took photography.
Yeah.
And
I was studying with Roy de Carava. And he had a workshop, the Kamuinge workshop, which was like just about 10 or 12 of us young black, young creatives in the 60s. And Roy was like, to me, one of the greatest photographers that lived. And he was a true mentor. Because, you know, he said, look, Bernard, you're going to be okay with this. He said, but, you know, your heart really is in music. You need to explore that before you commit to this. And then the rest was history. And he was always, I was always in touch with him more so than all the guys that did pursue photography. He always had problems with them. For me, he liked what I was doing, something different, you know. And that's why, you know, I really value that mentorship piece. I mean, I think mentorship is stronger than education sometimes, you know. It's wisdom and guidance that you get from somebody that's been there, you know, and can.
And that's why you're behind this program here at the Norwalk Art Space.
Because, man, these kids are... You know, like one morning I came on Sunday morning, they were in this room having a lesson, and I just appeared and just in the background, you know, looking and watching. And I saw the lesson, you know, and it was like, these are kids that just learning guitar, and you could tell they're just learning, and some were a little more advanced than others. And so I posed to them, I said, you know, don't take this for granted, what you just did. You know, I know it's a struggle for some and all that. I said, but everybody in this room just did something that you can't go out into the mall and question 200 people, and none of them could do what you just did. They were like, wow. You know, they just didn't, you know, they didn't have that insight into... Which was a monumental thing, you know, to learn how to read music is totally really learning a new language. You know, you can learn that by your ear and all that, but to be able to read it and play it, you know. And so that's one of the reasons why I love being involved in these kind of programs, you know. Because even when I was in my jingle business, I used to do... what do you call that, career days at schools, particularly like middle school kids. And we would show up, and at that time I was like the king of the hip-hop in the advertising music thing. And we were doing these Sprite commercials, which use all top-level... It was a badge of honor for any hip-hopper to do these commercials, so we had the best of everyone. And, you know, you show up at a high school, and the kids go, yo, man, you did this? You know, I said, yeah, you know, I said, and it was this sister who did the art direct. She created the pictures and all that. And just to make them aware of what it took to create this, and I said, you can do that, too. If you like to draw, you could be an art director.
Yeah.
You know, and you just had no education. They don't teach kids how to live and incorporate these things in their lives, you know. So yeah. That's why I like doing this.
We are talking to Bernard Drayton. Charlie Drayton and Adria Petty. Let's take a break, come back, ask them a couple more questions about this event that's coming up on May 30th, the Community Arts Bash, right here in Norwalk, Connecticut at the Norwalk Arts Space. More coming up right after this.
Skip the trip to the city and see Broadway actors right here in Fairfield County for a fraction of the price. Located at 509 Westport Avenue in Norwalk, Music Theater of Connecticut is your ticket to local professional theater. Get your tickets now and experience one-of-a-kind productions in our intimate, state-of-the-art Black Box Theater. For showtimes and reservations, visit our website at musictheaterofct.com or call us at 203-454-3883. Music Theater of Connecticut, where theater isn't just observed, it's experienced.
Escape the ordinary and let your taste buds wander through the enchanting landscapes of the Mediterranean and the Caribbean at the all-new Costa Vino Wine Bar Restaurant. Check out their happy hour specials and enjoy a symphony of tastes from their delicious menu. Costa Vino, located at 36 Westport Avenue in Norwalk. For more information, go to CostaVinoRestaurant.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Tavella, owner of Rick's Main Roofing, a family-owned and operated business since 1948, specializing in all types of residential and commercial roofing. We are GAF Residential Master Elite and GAF Commercial Master Select certified contractors, offering the finest warranties in the industry. This certification is only given to the best of the best. Rick's Main Roofing services all of Fairfield and Westchester County and offers a 24-hour emergency service. Look us up, ricksmainroofing.com.
John's Best has been serving great Italian dishes since 1961, from delicious pizza to pasta, salads to seafood, and more. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. Experience their newly renovated restaurant with outdoor seating. John's Best, 325 Westport Ave, Norwalk. For a full menu, check out johnsbestpizzact.com.
Keeping your home or business warm and running efficiently shouldn't be a challenge. Call the Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk for your free system evaluation and start saving money today. Google them for more information at The Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk.
From the Empire State Building's backyard, you're listening to The City's Backyard with Matt Zacho.
Now, back to more of the Petty Drayton interview episode. Here's Tom Petty's daughter, Adria Petty.
I just wanted to mention the gala will be here May 30th in Norwalk to celebrate the Petty Drayton program. They're honoring us, which we all feel super uncomfortable with because we don't feel like we did much but show up. But we're really thrilled. There's going to be some amazing music that Charlie's friends and colleagues are going to stop by and play, and we're going to reveal who those artists are soon. And the kids in our Petty Drayton music program are going to sing one of my dad's songs, which is really exciting.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to see them.
That's a surprise.
Play. And it's a really nice gala. Like when I went with Jeff when we were just dating, and we just were so moved that I was like, I want to give some money to these guys, you know, to keep doing what they're doing in art. And then they came back at me, you know, to do something in music, which was, you know, ambitious. But I knew I couldn't do it without Charlie, because Charlie is so purely in the world of music and is always playing music, is always with different musicians, and has had such a unique journey as a multi-instrumental musician and producer. And him and Bernard doing this with me, it's been so fun. I mean, if you end up coming to this gala, you're going to find a really nice community of people and a really touching, very moving kind of environment that I think the three of us have all really felt pretty touched by being involved and been willing to be more involved maybe than with other organizations, just because you see an instant result in what you do, in what you put time and effort into, and even conversation into. And I've seen Charlie doing that with some of the teachers here and playing with the students. And it's just been so beautiful to see Bernard, who's going to be on the board of this organization. He sits on the board of Brooklyn Hospital, too. And he's an incredible sage with how to run businesses and how to move with people. I mean, Bernard brought Chuck Berry a suitcase full of money to be in a Pepsi commercial or something like that. I mean, he has all kinds of advice for people. So In any case, if you can't make it and you like what they're doing, take a look at their website, donate, buy a ticket for an artist that like to attend. You know, if there's any way you're in the Connecticut area and you feel like you got a little extra to give for snacks for kids taking these classes, they're completely free. It's incredible. Even, you know, kids that aren't food insecure need a snack after school, but to be able to provide that for kids that are never going to get extracurriculars with small group classes for free anywhere, it's just a real cool thing. It feels really good to give money to do that for kids that are going to get continuing education in art and music for free in the local area.
Just wanted to mention, you know, you said Charlie is a multi-instrumentalist and producer and known mostly for being a drummer, you know, recorded or performed with The Cult, Keith Richards, The Stones, Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, Johnny Cash, Chaka Khan, Bob Dylan, Janet Jackson, and more. He's closing his eyes because the list just goes on and on. But Charlie, what would you like to see happen with the youth of today when it comes to just expressing their art here at the Norwalk Art Space?
My head is spinning. I'm overwhelmed. Well, at least...
Well, you're obviously a good dad. You're a good dad. I mean, so that's the first thing. You're just a good father.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I can't speak on that. All I know is here, for the opportunity here at the Petty Drayton Music Program, is that it's organic. And meaning that for the kids here, like, not all young kids are into sport. You know, some don't discover that yet. So you can be here as part of a group and to be sort of one-on-one interactive and...
And stay out of trouble.
Well, yeah, you know... create some artistic trouble and to find their way to express themselves through playing an instrument and or singing. And of course, this is the art space, so there's art happening here.
How boring would life be without art? You know, when the pandemic came along, the shows were closed. We were all quarantined. And if anything I learned from that was how boring life is without going out and seeing live music and musicians. And that's a good segue, Charlie, because you didn't do exactly what your father did, but he obviously influenced you. Just tell us how you found your way in the musical arts. I mean, you took a slightly different path, right?
On one hand, I feel like I was born into it.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like it was the first language I was speaking growing up in Brooklyn and just in New York with the music that was just here alone at that time was incredible. And being surrounded by musical family at home, I felt on one hand as a student going to school, whenever I wasn't in class... And I'm not sure my dad was conscious of this, but I was living in a masterclass world of everything. So, you know, here I would, you know, by the time I was four, my dad was now producing TV and radio commercials. And here I would be either at his office and... seeing the songs, seeing all this development of, you know, making music and how to manage and create, getting it to the next space, to the studio, and then being surrounded by the greatest of the greatest. You know, all of that just nurtured me to how to find my own voice doing these things. And now that, you know, yes, many experiences, some of the names you've mentioned, yeah, that's, you know, that's overwhelming. That's like a dream. But to come back here and to think about the opportunity we have to provide what we can for these kids.
you've played with Keith Richards. I mean, he lives in the backyard here in Fairfield County, you know? My friend fixed his washing machine. It's like, what a small world, you know? And here we have, you know, Tom Petty's daughter, Adria, here, and you know, your dad all in the same room. And so let's take a break, come back. I have a couple more questions. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate this. We are.
So do we.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're talking to Adria Petty, Charlie Drayton, and Bernard Drayton. Three artists that are supporting the arts here in Norwalk, Connecticut. And this is going to be a great event coming up at the end of May. More right after the break.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouth-watering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Live theater is back and in your own backyard at Curtain Call. There's always something on at Curtain Call at the Sterling Farms Theater Complex, Newfield Avenue in Stamford. For half the price of a Broadway ticket, a family of four can see a show at Curtain Call. Call 203-461-6358 or go online to curtaincallinc.com. That's curtaincallinc.com.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
Get back on the road with peace of mind with auto repair services you can trust. Accurate Auto Repair at 203-854-0338 or check them out at accurateautonorwalk.com.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill right here on the Post Road in Norwalk. 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
The City's Backyard podcast is about the arts, entertainment, music, and your community. It's The City's Backyard, airing on all platforms.
So we are back, and we're talking to Adria Petty, Charlie Drayton, and Bernard Drayton. And Bernie, you wanted to add something about your son, you know, as a percussionist, right?
Yeah, in that era he just spoke about, at from the age of about 5 to 9, he sat in the middle of every major contemporary rhythm section there was, from Max Roach to Bernard Purdy to Steve Gadd and people like that, sat next to them, and Will Lee, a bass player, which he's an avid bass player as well. And that was the basis of his education in music. And I would say to the guys, you know, I said, is he bugging? Because he's always asking questions, you know. And I remember there was a guy, Gordon, what was Gordon's last? Gordon Edwards, who was the bass player for Stuff. And he was kind of like, you would think he was a hard-edged guy, you know. And and I asked Gordon, I said, is he bugging you, Gordon? He said, no, man. He said, actually, he's asking the right questions. He says, some of these other hardheads, they're asking me some bullshit, you know. He said, but no, it's right. Because there was an instance once. We used to work a lot with Herbie Hancock doing things. And I don't know how old Charlie was at the time, maybe 5 or so, in that range. And they were sitting on my living room. We all had dinner at my house one day. And they were all sitting, he was sitting on the couch with Herbie, and they were sitting there for about 45 minutes talking, just him and Herbie. And so I was saying, you know what? What could they be talking about? You know, because they would, like, deep in conversation, you know. So it must have been some heavy music shit going on.
I think you would get along with my dad real well because, I saw some pictures of you on the internet with like Sammy Davis Jr. My dad was, being a madman. He was into the Motown scene in Canada, growing up in Detroit. So I think you guys would get along telling stories.
What agency was he?
Oh, he was in the big one.
Walter?
Yes. Walter Thompson and...
Y&R and
a couple of the big ones. I don't know. He'd probably kill me for not remembering which exact one it was. But he opened up his own agency because he got tired of working for the man, and then he just did it out of Westchester County. But, he has stories of meeting Barbara Streisand when she was, playing in a club in Detroit and casting stuff with, I think, the Supremes. You know, they were in Canada a lot doing stuff across the border there. But this is really cool. Let's turn it over to Adria because I got a question for Adria. So, this is sort of following up on Charlie, being influenced by his dad and your father, Tom. I'm a big Tom Petty fan. I know your dad had tons and still has fans because you have kept his legacy alive. But your father had some ups and downs in the music business. He ended up fighting the record companies when he thought they were being unfair. And, he was a pretty cool rock star. What did you learn from being in the studio with your father? I mean, I saw the Wildflowers documentary. I know you were in a lot of footage there. And you grew up around that atmosphere, just like Charlie with Bernie. And so what did you learn watching your dad handle business and people? Because he did not, I know, he was a great man, but he didn't take crap from anybody, right?
No. Unfortunately, I inherited that. I don't like bullshit.
It's a podcast. We can say that.
Most people don't like women that don't like bullshit. So it's not really an easy road to be like him and not be a man. He raised me like a son with the entitlement of a son, but I'm a woman. So he taught me a lot, but I've had to sort of learn how to package it in my human body. My dad, the more that I had to make a conscious effort not to die with him, and a lot of that was because I had a daughter and I had the Draytons holding me up at the end of it. And I think my dad taught me to be authentic. And I think he wanted to always feel that no matter how successful he got, no matter how amazing a song he wrote, no matter how much money was coming into the bank, he always said to me, you don't have to make all the money. You don't have to be driven by that. And so there are things that were more important to him. And, a lot of it was a lot of his interest is invested in the process, in how the sausage gets made, treating crew right, treating band members right, keeping some structure and order and craft in things so everybody's reaching for something, that there is a standard bearer, right? And so, the integrity and the authenticity comes from caring about how you do things, not just the result you get when you do things, but about how you do things. And I think something Charlie was talking about, this place here in Norwalk, it's an authentic place. And it's not just about rigor and having a kid, learn the Suzuki method. It's about a kid knowing they have a friend. They have a nice place to go to get feedback from adults that aren't their parents, that are loving. It's about feeling good about learning something without pressure and for enjoyment. And I know my dad enjoyed being in music, that the vibration of music and its power, he knew were magical. He knew that gave people enormous strength and that, he could lift up hundreds of thousands of people at the same time by just writing a great song. And
he was a wordsmith without a doubt.
Yeah,
the lyrics were unreal.
It wasn't just the words, though. It was also the chemistry of a group of people that grew up together playing music at the highest level and not getting away with not playing it at the highest level with each other because they had a mutual respect. And so, you know, the Heartbreakers and my dad raised me in an environment of excellence, of easy excellence, because they shared that goal. And I think, you know, you feel growing up around that, that everybody's like that. So I didn't really know that, you know, my standards, which are for, you know, being kind of honest, accountable, authentic, be real, be, you know, not having transactional motives. I've had to learn that everybody's not like that. But I can tell you, you know, in terms of the fact that, you know, my dad barely finished high school or that Bernard had a kid at the end of high school, it's really impressive to live with, you know, male figures that are incredible fathers, that are hustlers, that can really get creative projects off the ground and make a living and raise a family in that environment. I mean, I learned so much from my dad. I learn more from my dad every single day, you know, because, like I said, I decided to grieve as an act of devotion. I'm devoted to him now, even more than I was when he was alive. And I was very devoted to him as a daughter when he was alive.
But that's why you have so many fans, too, because of what you've done to keep his legacy alive. You have so many followers on Instagram and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's all great, but his work's not my achievement, and, you know, the Heartbreakers work is not my achievement, but I feel gratitude, and I feel honored to be able to do that in a way that's really authentic, and where it's still with his teams and all that. Like, I look at Prince's family and Michael Jackson's family, they're not going to get that opportunity, because people came in and kind of stole their estates. We're very lucky to have the opportunity to preserve Tom and the person that we knew and my dad, you know, in a way that has a lot of integrity and personal love and depth to it. And to do that with my family and the band is an honor, you know. So it's cool that people are interested in who I am, but it's not really about who I am. I just happen to be here. But it's really interesting, the choices that he made and how he did it, because he didn't have to become someone else. He was always able to still be Tom Petty. He didn't have to become Pink or whatever, create a persona. He was able to be himself up there, and you were getting music from the real guy. And that is kind of amazing.
So doing this and supporting, you know, the Norwalk Art Space with the Petty Drayton Music Program, this obviously kind of keeps you grounded, right? And it makes obviously your dad proud. What I wanted to say was I actually interviewed Shelly Yakis virtually, who was a...
Yeah, you know, I know Shelly well.
Of course you do, right?
Yeah.
He recorded 4 Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers albums. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that he was on the podcast, and I actually sent him a text saying that I was going to interview you and Charlie and Bernard and hoping he comes back on. But I wanted to mention, I said, you know, do you have any stories about Tom? First, he said the demos were always top notch. Yeah. So he had a lot of stuff to, you know, great music to work with to start from the demos. But he said that one time your dad was flying out to Idaho, I believe, going, you know, just getting away and going to stay at like a ski lodge. And he saw him online at the airport and he said, Tom, give me your number. And he called him up and he got your dad to go snowmobiling. So I thought that was pretty cool. And he said your father had the best time. So that's what, you know, what I got from asking him. And he just said he finally convinced him to go snowmobiling. So I thought you might.
That name is from a blast from my past, too, Shelly. Yeah. I think he was an assistant at A&R or something like that. Or was it Record Plant?
Well, he recorded John Lennon's Imagine. He recorded Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies.
He ran the A&M studios, and I was actually an intern for him one summer. And I mean, he worked us so hard. He would say, look, if you work here for 4 years, you're going to be making more than a Harvard graduate. And I mean, I was cleaning, you know, tape machines with Kim wipes and wiping down vents and straightening notepads for Shelly Yakis as an 18-year-old in between my freshman and sophomore year of college. But he, you know, he's a great engineer, really probably one of the best ever, and kind of pioneered at a completely different sound and multi-track recording, right? And you know, he was very well respected for decades. I don't know if he still does it, but he is amazing.
Yeah, there's very few pictures of him on the internet, just a couple with your father. And I guess from what Dennis Dunaway said from Alice Cooper is back then it wasn't really cool to take pictures. You were working. But I wanted to ask you, Bernie, so Adria said something really cool that touched me because, you know, I think we're all artists if we're interested in this place, especially the Norwalk art space. But I had Denny Lane on from Paul McCartney and Wings, and I asked him, you know, if you could give any advice to us aspiring musicians, what would you say? And he said, don't go after the money. And my father tells me that, too. And then hearing Adria say that her father pretty much wasn't concerned all about the money. What do you say as an older guy with all the wisdom in the room here?
No, well, when you know you got your basic family covered and you can just go for the real goal, which is, you know, the product and your dreams, you know, because, hey, man, my life is full of, you know, fulfilling dreams, you know. I don't believe you can do anything. You take Michael Jordan, the way he would go up and do a shot, he had to dream that at one point when he was a kid, and he finally executed it, you know. So, and I think that applies to everything, you know, music, art, you know, and to come into this space. I didn't come into a space like this until I was an adult. And I really didn't know what I was coming into at the time. It was like a new experience, you know, to learn and be around artists and been invited there by artists. So these kids are getting that experience now. And not only getting the experience of being in this is like a world-class situation. This is not a local thing in terms of the scope of it, mm-hmm. You know. It's just like any other major gallery in the world. And you could be from East Norwalk and just walk in here as a 12-year-old and experience it and be part of it. And it's great to be able to provide that because that just opens doors, man. You know, creativity and education. All the specialized high schools in New York, music and art, art and design and all those places, were the incubator of, particularly like in the 60s and 70s, of the creative talent in New York, music and art-wise and dance-wise and all that. But only 15% of those kids went on to those careers, whatever it was, music, art, dance. But the other 85%... turned out to be engineers, doctors, lawyers. It elevated. It just opened doors for them. It got them through that point in their life to acquire discipline and direction and just opened the world to them. And they found out, yeah, I really wanted to be this electrical engineer. Or I wanted to be a subway conductor. You know, but whatever they went on to, they went into like a higher level that they would have not gone if they hadn't had the music or art background.
That is just a great way to wind it down. I want to ask Charlie one last thing here. So, Charlie, what do you look forward to about this community arts bash? You know, it's an art show with live auction and live music and an auction. What do you look forward to an event like this? You know, what's your favorite thing?
Well, with the event and just the program, you know, Adria said a moment ago, making magic. And for me, this opportunity we had to help the kids here is that, look, technology is, it's, this is where we are now, but you get to walk into this place and the experience of interacting, learning to express yourself through another language, no screen. We want the kids to reflect themselves as the screen and to, you know, art begins with a blank canvas, a blank space. Music begins with space and silence. And then everything after that is possible. So this is a place where we can create magic. And we hope moving forward, you know, to keep this thing growing. And so we'd like people to come to the gala, or if, you know, if you can't make it, please make a donation, and we'll be right here.
Yeah, we're going to put the links in the show notes. Did Adria want to say any final words before we put a wrap on this great episode? You know, it was so much. I think Bernie wants to say one last thing, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess we look around at the world, you know, and it feels like a tough place because we get a lot of information and we see a lot of negative stuff in the world. And in the place that we are with a young child, we want the world to be better, you know, and it starts in your community. It starts next door. It starts 20 minutes from you where the people that, you know, mow your lawn, or the people that, you know, build your houses live, and they deserve to have the things your kids have. They deserve to feel safe, and they deserve to have those opportunities to find what they're good at. And I think that's really important for people to remember, that it doesn't just happen at a federal level. It happens at a local level, with taking an interest in other people, even if they're not sharing your viewpoint or your religion or your ethnicity. It starts right here, lifting everybody up with you and taking an interest in their kids too. And my dad taught me that too. And I think that raises the vibration in a country, because people will visit the town that looks after each other and want to be in a town like that. And I feel like I've had that experience living here, and that Duvian really touched my heart with the, you know, that's something I want to spend my time on, is other people's kids too, you know.
Wow, that was awesome. Thanks.
Just one last, I get in reference to Tom. Tom is what's known in Brooklyn as a mensch.
What's that mean?
Oh, that's just a great guy. I'm sorry we didn't have more time together. Because, you know, I know a lot of people, different artists and all that in the industry, and so many of them were jerks. You know? but he was the real deal. For a guy of his stature,
yeah,
in the world, he was just the same guy that left Tallahassee, you know, or Gainesville.
Gainesville.
Excuse me.
Gainesville. You obviously weren't in the Tom Petty fan club.
he was the same guy, you know. And like she said, the money didn't affect him.
Right.
You know. And one of my last conversations with him was just before the last concert and getting ready to go off the road. You know, we were talking. And that's why I know he would love this, because.
You mean he would love the podcast, or he would love the Petty Drayton music program? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Take your time.
We were talking about our granddaughter, and he said, you know, I'm going to be finished. After this tour, I'm going to get my hip fixed. And and spend a little more time with E, is what we call her, Everly. And she said, because, you know, she be making up her own little ditties. You know, she freelances on the lyric and the melody, you know. And that was the last real conversation we had. And I had just given him a copy of my Martin Luther King print photograph. And he was more excited, like it was Art Cain that gave him that print, you know. And I always treasured that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Adria. Did you want to say anything? And that's a beautiful way to end it, right?
No, it's good.
Thank you guys for coming on the podcast in the backyard of New York City here. Of course, the event, the Norwalk Art Space, is putting on this great community arts bash Thursday, May 30th. And for tickets, you can go to the website. We'll put the link in, norwalkartspace.org. Thank you, Charlie, Bernard Drayton, the Drayton family, the Petty family, Adria Petty. Thank you guys so much for this opportunity.
It's our pleasure.
That puts a wrap on the city's backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.